Welcome, everybody. It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you today. Here we are in studio with two phenomenal guests. I've already lost control of them, but we're going to try to handle it. We have with us today Cynthia and David Darst. Currently known not as Batman and Robin, but as Team Darst.
Yes, indeed.
And they're going to talk about when your relationships work, your world works. Mm. But before we get into that, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999. And I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of the coaching perspective. So if you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, www.thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me the old-fashioned way, 714-726-8354. Well, before we get to this week's show, let me just tell you, next week, because this is not a once-in-a-lifetime event, we do this weekly. Next week on the show, we're going to have personal brand management with Kimberly Rausch. So you want to join this discussion, and she's going to explain the difference between who you are and what you've done and how stress impacts your brand behavior. Her work with more than 1,000 executives in transition has formed the basis for her real-world view of personal brand marketing. Well, let's get to today's show. Cynthia, David, welcome to The Coaching Perspective.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. I should just disclose that I have a long-term association with Cynthia. It's been since 1996 that I first met her at the first coaching class that I enrolled in at CTI. And she was one of the trainers, and she has been my coach ever since then. And it's a privilege, Cynthia, to have had you hold my hand and walk me through so many issues. And of course, one of the bonuses in the deal was, along with it, I got to know David. And David is a phenomenal coach, does a lot of coaching in business and relationships, and that's going to really key into today's discussion.
Yeah, what a pleasure, Doug. It's always a pleasure to work with you, and I'm excited to be here with you after all these years.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes, it was sort of a mistake of mine. We were having a conversation recently, and I said something about the radio show, and Cynthia said, well, you've never asked me to be on the radio show. So that just goes to show, if you don't ask, you won't get it, because I wanted her to be on it, but I was afraid to ask because it would be an imposition.
Oh, so sweet. No, what a pleasure.
And she is here in Orange County today because her and David are going to be going across the street after the show to speak at the ICF Orange County chapter?
Absolutely, yep. Yes.
And you're going to be talking about?
We're doing a presentation on building stronger relationships from the bedroom to the boardroom.
Yes, that's, and this meeting will be held in a conference room, not a hotel room.
That's right, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, it's not a bridge between the two so much as the same things that build strong relationships at home are also the same things that build relationships and business.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, look, before we get into our topic or the meat of today, tell us a little bit about your business, what you do, who you do it for.
Well, I've been coaching now for almost 22 years, maybe longer. Good Lord, it is longer than that, since 1992. I've been doing individual coaching. And then David came into the picture. I had been doing it for about 8 years, and then he started getting trained as a coach.
In 2000.
2000,
yeah. And I know a lot, you've probably talked to a lot of coaches, and one of the things they say is, it feels like this was made for me, or it wasn't that easy for me. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, this is what I was meant to do. No, I took the coaching courses and saw that I could use the skills and the work that I was doing, which at that time I was making television commercials, but I thought coaching was going to be a nice retirement gig. Something to do after, you know, 10, 20
Wake
years
up.
And I was ready to stop.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
But the more I got into it and the more I did it, the more it was like, oh, this is a lot less stressful. But the conversations I got to have with people and the impact those conversations had was a whole lot more fulfilling than just throwing stuff together and making commercials.
So David joined my company, The Inspiration Point, in probably 99 or 2000, actually, when you decided to become a professional coach in 2000. Yeah. And then, so we've had this company, The Inspiration Point, for the past several years. And do you know how sometimes things just sort of catch you by surprise?
Yes, all the time.
So we've been doing, over the years, we're both on the faculty of the Coaches Training Institute, CTI. And then probably about 2002 or 3, mm-hmm. Marita Frijon and Faith Fuller of CRR Global tapped us on the shoulder and they said, we really like your relationship. We want you to come and do relationship work with us, like do and learn how to coach relationships. And we were like, oh, okay. You know, that sounds like fun. It sounds like something worth doing.
We actually said yes before we really knew what we were getting into.
Yeah, we had no clue what we were getting into. But as the years played out...
Don't regret it, but...
No, as the years played out, people started referring to us as Team Darst. And our friends, you know, oh, Team Darst is coming, or Team Darst is here, you know. And it took us a while to realize that that was actually the brand of our business that was trying to be built. So last year, we actually filed a DBA as Team Darst, and we are in the process of rebranding as Team Darst.
And you've redone your website as Team Darst, and it looks great.
We're working on that. Yeah. Like, that's in the Team Darst logo is in process. It's moving in that direction.
We're not giving up the inspiration aspect. It's just there's more than one point of inspiration these days.
Right.
And it is about how teams create inspiration for each other sometimes. Mm.
Well, we'll talk a little more about some of the people that you work with, but you both have fascinating backgrounds. I don't want to pass it.
Okay, great.
What'd you do before coaching?
I see that look in your eye, Doug. Well,
How far back do you want to go?
Yeah, how far back do you want to go? My first incarnation was that of a professional actress. David and I were both in the entertainment industry, and I made my living as an actress in New York City for a time, until I realized one day I was working on a soap opera, and realized that I felt like I was doing more to help people sit around and eat potato chips than I was to do anything that inspired them in their life. And that's when I started really looking like, okay, what do I really want my life to be about? And it wasn't about acting for me, you know? So that was, I was at the ripe old age of 28 or 29 at that point. But that is what took me on the road toward becoming a coach.
Okay, yeah. And I want to talk a little more about that. But what about you, David?
I'm one of those people that follow women around.
Okay.
And basically what that means is I'm not necessarily I don't jump on the bus really quick, but I followed her to New York City. And she kind of would get her foot in the door and say, you should try this. And she'd get her foot in the door and you should try this. So that's how I found out about Actors Information Project, which is where they taught the actors the business of show business, because they were trained creatively, mm-hmm. and where she became a consultant for actors.
Yeah, that was back in the 80s. That was back in 1983. The precursor of the coaching work I do is that I was working with professional actors to help them set goals, to help them overcome objections, to help them stay in action and focus on what they wanted to create. And it was obviously a precursor of the coaching world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was okay as an actor, but I wasn't good enough. All actors actually need a survival job. And tried the waiting tables thing, wasn't for me, but I've always been good with my hands and building creative, and even today I think I'm an artist and my medium just keeps changing. But it shifted into building furniture design and remodeling people's houses, and now I think we work with remodeling people's lives and careers.
There you go.
Your palette is your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you are both very inspirational people. If the audience hasn't picked up on this already, I will never forget when I took the first class with CTI and they said you need to hire a coach because you have to experience it if you're going to become one, which made a lot of sense. And I looked around the room and I had this image of myself as, you know, I'd been in business, corporate life, and my own companies for a long time. And I thought, well, the last thing I need is another business person. I've got that persona down pat. So who is it in this room that is the most opposite from me and makes me the most uncomfortable? And it was Cynthia. I said, what else could I pick but an actor to work with? And perfect. If I can work with that, then I'm going to learn something. That will really add something. And I'll tell you, she has pulled stuff out of me that I never knew was there. I thank you for that.
You're very welcome, Doug. You know, one of the things you may not know is when I first got into coaching, I was there were a lot of people that I felt naturally like, oh, it was easy to coach women like me or young men that were sort of new to the business world. But in meeting you, the one kind of person that would intimidate me at that point in my life was someone who reminded me in any way, shape, or form of my father. Now, you are a kinder, gentler version of my father, but when we first started out, I was like, can I really coach Doug?
Because it was that successful businessman.
Successful businessman, that's right. But so you have also grown me a great deal, Doug, okay, and so I just thank you.
So it wasn't the age thing.
No.
Okay,
no. Not at all.
Well, you know, one of the questions that we've asked everybody we've had on the show for 6 years now, and we've never had a duplicate answer, is what is your guiding principle? What event, what sort of creates your true north of who you are and what you do?
I think the guiding principle, so there's two pieces there, the guiding principle and what was the event that helped create
it.
One of the guiding principles is that relationships are our teachers, and that the way we learn about ourselves is by being in relationship with others. And that the more positivity we can bring to that, the more likely we're going to grow. Anything to add there?
Well, you know, here's what I'm noticing is even as we think about this, I think that might be your guiding principle, and it joins so beautifully with my guiding principle. I believe that my guiding principle has to do. I recently did a TEDx talk.
Yes,
called Safe Inside Yourself. Safe Inside Yourself. And I believe that when we feel safe within ourselves, that then we can create all kinds of things. We can dream big. We can have the life we want. We can be freed up to be able to have frank conversations with other people and not be terrified in the world. And I know that my feeling safe in myself is very hard won. There's been so much, you know, what we might call a gremlin or saboteur or like a negative self-talk that's been in my life. And so as I've learned how to turn down the volume on that and turn up the volume on what I really want and what on having a stronger relationship with myself, that's what also gives the freedom to be able to have a strong relationship with another person.
Yeah.
So it just speaks to the work that we do as Team DARS. Not all of us is with outside teams. Sometimes the work that I do with people has to do with their inside teams, with their relationship with themselves.
Yeah. And that, you're right, because that is where our guiding principles really join together.
Yep.
Because a lot of times when people hear the term relationship, they are thinking someone else or a romantic relationship, but it holds my relationship with myself as a relationship, my relationship with other, and even sometimes my relationship with the projects I have, and bringing that same kind of looking and growing. Because I mean, think of some of the projects you've done throughout your life and how they've grown you just as much as the people in your life have.
Well, I'm just thinking of, here we are on Valentine's weekend coming up, and it's all about relationships. That's going to be quite a crowd for the two of you with the way you've defined relationships.
That's right.
About relationships.
The whole inside team, the whole outside team with each other.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
You know, I have to, just as a side story, in getting ready for the show, I was kind of curious as to how long we'd been working together, Cynthia. So I looked back through my notes and found my notes from this first class in 1996, and that's when we started working together. But you just reminded me, one of the things that was scribbled on the page was the word gremlins.
Uh-huh.
And the big question mark, what's she talking about? there's this whole other coaching woo-woo language
right
that we have to identify.
Mm.
Well, great. Thanks for sharing that. Well, look, let's talk a little bit about this topic. When your relationships work, your worlds work. What are we talking about there?
David's taking a picture of us, and that's very fun. Well, here's what it is to me, is that so often in life, I see people so focused on creating a life they want, creating, whether it's being an entrepreneur in their, you know, building their own business, or whether it's a CEO who's trying to manage her team or his team more effectively, what we tend to focus on is these results that we want. And sometimes people, it's almost like they'll knock each other out of the way trying to get to these results, and often fail to realize that if we actually take the time to focus on the relationships in our life, the results just unfold so much more easily. So, and that's what we're going to be presenting on this evening as well.
And that works both personal.
Yes.
And business.
Yes.
You know, I personally always have a problem with this distinction between life coaches and business coaches, because I've never met anybody who came to me with a business issue that didn't have a life also.
You know? Yeah.
Good point.
One would hope.
One would hope. Right. And if they did, that was a whole nother area for coaching.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it really, there is no difference between the relationships we have socially.
That's right.
And the relationships we have business-wise.
Well, and so people feel like so often, well, I just need to like put up with the way this person treats me at work, or I need to manipulate the way, you know, why can't I get him to do this, or why is she so stubborn, or something like this. And in the world of CRR Global, the world of organizational relationships and systems coaching, we actually start working with the system itself, the relationship between two people. When that gets aligned and works well, people can start creating amazing things together.
Yeah, I want to backpedal just a little bit,
okay,
because I like where you're pointing with the business and personal. And sometimes I think of it as cross-training. So there are things we can learn from our personal relationships that it's harder to learn on a business side. And there are things that we learn on a business side that it's harder to learn on a personal. But if we start growing those muscles and kind of see it as cross-training, things unfold. And it's what you were talking about. That
give us an example.
I want to go... So. Yesterday was Cynthia's father's birthday.
Would have been his 100th birthday.
And it would have been his 100th birthday. So it means a lot. He was a man who knew business. There was a way in which we, through my relationship with him, we got to learn things about ourselves that he got to take into his personal life, but I got to take into my business life.
It's true.
But it wasn't a business relationship that we had.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a better businessman today, not from what he taught me from a business aspect,
right,
but from bumping up against him and rubbing up against him personally.
Yeah.
That.
So just to give a little context.
Yeah.
When
we're going to tell. This is going way back.
When David asked for my hand in marriage.
Because I was doing the good Southern thing, you ask the father for the daughter's hand in marriage.
My father looked at him and said, well, David, we like you and all, but when you can come back and show me that you can support my daughter in the manner in which she's accustomed or better, then you come back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So David didn't look right. My father, he didn't have the pedigree, he didn't have the money in the bank that my father wanted for me.
But here's what I actually did, something that he would have done. I actually went to the CEO of the company.
Me.
And I asked you, and you said yes. And then we worked out the other stuff with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my father wasn't exactly pleased for as having him as a son-in-law for some years. And then bit by bit by bit, they worked out their relationship.
So we're talking about the fact that relationships, as a definition, isn't confined to business,
right?
Or confined to social,
right?
It's just relationships.
It's just relationship.
How do we work with other people?
Exactly.
And you mentioned something about when you start coaching relationships, mm-hmm. you coach the structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the system.
Which, you know, from a business point of view, the system is kind of easy. If we're going to work together, we're going to write a contract, we're going to define the system we're going to operate under and each other's responsibilities. That is such an exception to the systems that I have with all of the people that I talk to.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, and even in the business, so one of the sayings we have is conscious and intentional relationship.
Most of us go into unconscious, unintentional relationships.
Even in business sometimes. We think we're spelling things out, but there's the do's and the don'ts, the
well, there's what can be written, but quite often what happens is like we might make these outward agreements, but if the energy between us, if the culture that we create together isn't noticed or worked with, we could be, let's say that you and I were going to create something, Doug, and I was holding some kind of resentment. So if I'm over here holding this resentment and I'm like projecting onto you that you're maybe an arrogant guy who thinks he knows everything, and if that's what I'm coming to the party with and putting that on you, then pretty soon you're going to start picking something up, right?
Right.
And then no matter what we've spelled out on paper, if that underlying energy is not worked with, our relationship is gonna tank what we're up to.
So you've added a whole lot of things to this discussion about relationship. You've talked about structure, you've talked about culture, you've talked about energy, and I'm assuming the list could go on. So it's not just about the written agreement.
Not at all.
It's about, what did you refer to, the unconscious?
Yeah.
Unconscious assumptions.
The unconscious assumptions. Thank you.
And then all the ghosts of all the relationships past. Because generally, I'm actually not interacting with you. I'm interacting with all the people like you that I've had business dealings before. So it's not necessarily, am I in a relationship with you? I'm in history, and that's going on over here. So a lot of it's just getting out the assumptions.
Yeah.
And being able to have the conversation, here's what I want with you.
You know, this, what's fascinating about this, I hadn't made the connection, but I was actually working with a client this morning. And we were talking about one of the things we're working on is better networking and developing relationships through effective networking. And, of course, one of the things in my mind that sticks in the way of networking is people aren't creating a relationship.
That's right.
They don't enter the conversation to create a late relationship to create a source of dialogue.
That's right.
It's what can you do for me? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Which is a pretty minor part of it.
Yeah. Well, you're pointing to something that the Arbinger Group makes a point of in Leadership and Self-Deception. That's a great book. That what we tend to do is what we tend to interact with other people like they're either an object or an obstacle rather than an actual human being. And the minute we do that, we reduce them to this thing that we're trying to work with or work around. So often when we meet someone, and especially in a networking situation where we think we're trying to make a sale or we're trying to get a client or something, we're treating them as a thing rather than really honestly being curious about who is this human being sitting across from us.
And to your point, David, we're treating them like everybody else that we've met that's like them.
That's right.
That we think that,
The assumption we've made.
Yeah.
Well, look, the producer's waving at me. We're going to take a break for a commercial here, and then we will be right back to continue this fascinating conversation. Okay, we're back from the commercial. During the commercial break, the producer just pointed out that we set a world's record for the longest pause on internet radio.
You did. You asked them their guiding question, and it was like an excruciating amount of time for them to answer.
So that leads us into a whole other area. David, what do you have to say about that pause?
Well, it's the piece of the power of the pause, or in this case, it was us being in relationship with a question. You ask a question that we'd actually answered at home.
Yeah.
Several days ago.
What is our guiding principle?
Our
we
guiding
were thinking
principle?
Of that.
Sent it to you ahead of time.
Like yep, absolutely you did.
We had the answer, but there was something about wanting to be in relationship with it again. So it's not just something that comes out of our mouth, but it's something that we're owning as we speak it.
That's nice. There you go.
There you guys go again.
We're getting ready for another big pause.
Well, you know, I was pointing out for the coaches that are listening, you know this, but we are trained as coaches when we are working with a client, and of course that's anybody that you're talking to, that you let those pauses take care of themselves. You wait to see what's gonna pop out of that pause. What's gonna happen?
Yeah. Well, and if we go back to something we were talking about earlier with the being in relationship with other and being in relationship with self. So often when we ask a question of another human being and they don't answer right away, we'll start judging ourselves. Oh, I asked the wrong question, or maybe that's too vulnerable a place that I took them. And we'll start judging. And actually, they're just taking the time to actually
To really look. Yeah.
And come up with an answer that's thoughtful and true for them in that moment.
See, and I think that's the key. You hit it right there, David. It's in that moment. Mm-hmm. It's not as if most questions we deal with do not have a black or white, yes, right or wrong answer. Right. It's how do I feel at this point in time? So when you talked about this question at home, you had an answer.
Sure.
When you got here and I'm looking you in the eye and going, this is a really important question. We've never had a duplication. What is it for you? It's like,
what
I'm
is it?
Think about that again. Yeah.
It's great.
So what is that? How does that play into what you coach in relationships?
I'm just trying to think that we want people to think. We want people to go deeper rather than have some memorized answer about their life.
We want people to not have the right answer, but explore possible answers. So they can start to be more choice. I don't know if you've heard, if you got one thing, there's no choice. If you got two things, you're actually not a choice, you just have a dilemma. It's not till you get up to three or more things that you're choosing and picking through that you can actually have some choice.
When you coach, are you coaching in your relationship coaching? Mm-hmm. Let's get this out on the table. Do I hire you to do relationship coaching because we've got a problem with relationships? You know the stigma in coaching. Why do you have a coach? Because you must be a problem child, so we got you a coach. Mm. Talk about relationships. What are the situations you're brought into? What are the benefits you bring to?
One of the things that has been happening more and more frequently is I might be coaching a CEO or upper C-suite management, something like that. And pretty soon we'll hear a conversation like, oh my God, I'm having so much trouble with my sales manager, or I'm having trouble with, or my wife or my whatever, like if I could only. And so to me, there's a signal right there that relationship needs a coach. So in our business, one of the things that started to happen more and more is that I'll be coaching this one person, and then we'll bring David in to coach. He's developing a specialty in coaching teams or partnerships in conflict. So we'll bring him in to do the work with the partnership itself, while I remain the coach to just the CEO or just the person, the person you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, David, talk a little bit about the coaching with partnerships that are having some difficulties. You know, we had a guest on the show, a coach, who's also a mediator, and you're not doing mediation. What are you doing with the partnership that's having a problem?
Well, it's unfortunate that we still are brought in to work with what's called the problem, because I'm not seeing it as a problem. I'm seeing it as a dynamic that's in the relationship.
Yeah.
And whenever you're working with change. Conflict or resistance is something that's naturally going to arise. So when I'm in, not only am I listening for, but in the questions that we ask and the way we work with the people, we start having them look for what's trying to happen. Like through this conflict, mm-hmm. If you're out there listening, just rub your fingers together.
Your knuckles. Rub your knuckles together.
And as you rub your knuckles together, that's what conflict feels like. It's gritty. It's like there. But if you got two people that are passionate enough to be bumping up against them and rubbing up against them, what happens is eventually that rub starts to polish the rough edges. and sometimes even that friction creates heat and sparks, but something arises from that. And if you can hang with that long enough, because what usually happens, boom, go away,
right.
Turn their back. We're listening for where are they turning towards each other? Where might they have, and here's where it does go alongside with mediation, what might be the interest in common? Okay. But it's really listening for that and seeing them. Actually, it goes back to a buddy mindset. Mm. You got one mouth, two ears. How do you start to get those ears working as much as your mouth?
Mm.
And that's a lot of what I'll work with in working with people in relationship, to get the ears working twice as much as the mouth is.
What we're tonight, when we speak at the ICF Orange County, we're going to be working with team toxins. This is based on John Gottman's work, which is brilliantly, actually researched work on what has people be able to work well together or what has people go out of relationship with each other. So what tends to happen is if we get in an atmosphere where we're always blaming each other or criticizing each other and being defensive with each other, then it creates this ongoing ugh in the space, ongoing toxicity. So what we often work with people about is train them in what we call the four team toxins and help them learn how to communicate with each other without getting toxic in their behavior. When you can turn down that toxicity, it's amazing what people can learn from each other and what they start to hear as interests in common. By the way, we aren't all Pollyanna. Sometimes people don't end up liking each other. But if they can start to find alignment, if they can start to find, oh, okay, I can line up with you. We both want that. Now we can start to create together. We can start turning towards something that we want to do rather than being pushing up against each other, thinking the other person is the problem.
Which is, I'm assuming, why you start your coaching by coaching the structure rather than the individuals. You're coaching what is it that the relationship wants to be first. And if we can create a commonality there, then we can work on individuals. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, and it's funny because Cynthia's talking about being referred, but very often there's one part of a relationship that's dragging the other person into the coaching.
Right.
Yes. Right?
It's a roles thing. One person leads and another person not necessarily follows
or resists,
but gets the drug. And because we're listening to what's happening in the relationship versus one or the other person, very often it's the person that gets drug to the initial session that says, hey, this coaching stuff might work. Because all of a sudden it's not one person or the other person that's leading. It's the relationship is leading. And through that, they actually feel like, oh, I might actually get a say in this.
Yeah.
Well, and I assume you stop making somebody wrong.
Yes, that's
right. Once you start looking at the structure.
That's right.
Yeah.
We come from a principle is that of everyone being right partially. Yeah. So it's not, you know, people will often get into a struggle of right, you know, who's right, who's wrong. And one of the things you say is something about, what did you say about scorecard?
Oh, do you want to have a relationship or do you want to have a scorecard? Because what a lot of people have is a scorecard. It's like, I need to get mine. You got yours, or it's my turn.
Yeah.
Right? And we just start keeping score.
Well, and the terrible thing is many of these scorecards are invisible.
Absolutely.
So I know the scorecard. I've tracked it. You're way behind, but I've never told you.
That's right.
So I create an attitude.
That's right.
That you don't know where it's coming from.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And there are all these other like unseen forces that go along with this. We look at what we call rank and privilege. So one of the things that happens a lot in this world is, for example, you both are attractive, educated white men. That has a certain privilege to it and carries a certain you carry a certain rank in the world without even noticing. And here I am, a short white woman. Now, I have rank and privilege as well, but it's different than yours. And so often in the business arena, if people are different from each other, sometimes they're not aware of how their rank or privilege might be seen or might be being felt by someone through no fault of their own.
Okay.
We got a thoughtful pause from Doug there. While he wraps his head around that.
Let me, I'm with you on that. I want to go back to something you said.
Okay.
You talked about the four toxins.
Yes.
I want to just ask this question that I'm assuming that one of the things you're not taking out of the relationship is the emotions.
Oh, Lord, no.
Emotions are the currency of relationships.
Yeah. I wanted to get that out because so many people think to solve our problems we become emotionless.
No.
Let's get that straight for
that's
the audience.
That's right. So this is not, now here's the thing. Sometimes people grab on to these horsemen, to these team toxins. I'm going to name them for you. Blame, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. So if people are grabbing onto those and going into drama in their relationship, that's what we want to turn the volume down on. So we don't want to take out the actual emotion, the actual sense of connection with someone else or respect that we have for someone else and how good that feels. What we want to do is lower the drama so we can find out what's actually trying to happen in the relationship.
So this toxic behavior that we're talking about can become a smokescreen of what's truly going on underneath. And, I mean, push comes to shove. I mean, they really are protective mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a way to protect, and it's like when you can start, and it's a vulnerable place to start lowering that toxic behavior and me actually being in relationship with you.
It's very vulnerable.
As opposed to pulling this up as a weapon to, like, defend, or, you know, because defensiveness is like defending.
Right.
Right, and one of the things stonewalling is when we go quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what's the underlying belief, or what's the information that person has, and what's a more skillful way to get it into the relationship?
Yeah, why did they go to that place?
And most of us have just never been taught any other way of dealing with someone. So if I feel criticized, I don't have the voice to say, wow, that hurt, or, I feel like, you know, hang on a second, let's slow this down, because I'm feeling a little attacked here. If we don't know how to speak it, instead, I'm going, you're the one who got me the report late. Of course I'm late getting this back to you. It's like we go to defensiveness because we don't know what else to do, and we've never been taught. So one of the things that we often do with our clients when we come in to work with a team or group is we work with them on these toxins. We're going to be doing it tonight at the ICF Orange County, and really taking the time to talk about what is that about? What's it for? What's the wisdom it's trying to offer us? And what might we do instead of going to this toxic behavior?
As you say that, I'm reminded there is something we were taught. And underneath it, I buy into it. But
listen.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Unfortunately,
the golden rule.
The golden rule.
Not the platinum.
Right? And it's like, it's more do unto others the way they want it done to them.
Yeah.
Because you've got your own land. And that's one of the metaphors we use. It's like you've got your land and I've got my land. And they're different. And but how do I want to be treated? So we get to train each other. It's like one of the things that's worked about Cynthia and I's relationship over the years. And we didn't get it natural. I mean, it just didn't fall in our lap. So we've had to work at
yes, we have.
Noticing what works for the other. So I'm not an eye contact person. Here's just a quick example. Cynthia's an eye contact.
I like to make eye contact. I did not know that people could feel connected with me without looking me in the eye. I didn't know this for many, many, many years. And David feels very connected with me. We don't have to be looking in the eye. So that was news to me.
Guess what? We have a married couple here that's not exactly alike. What a shocker.
And isn't that who we end up being in relationship
people? Isn't it? I mean, always. The always. Excitement that goes with the differences.
That's right.
The differences.
Yeah.
So one of the quick little things that we designed is when she's feeling disconnected from me, a little signal of, I need your eyes.
That's right. And now he knows what I need. And it's made it so a lot better in our relationship.
Being willing
so
to ask.
I know there's no time for you to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. And that is, you know, all of this is great. I buy into it 100%. Where in the business world is there time to work on any of this? Okay, the typical business is going so fast.
Yep.
You know, nobody has time to even... communicate, much less communicate well. So what is your experience in the business world with this?
You know, one of my mottos is sometimes we have to slow down in order to go faster. It's a little bit like, let's imagine that you had a Maserati, you know, and you're out there with the speed trials. If you're not taking the time to tune that engine well, if you're not taking the time to change the tires and do pit stops that are needed, you're not going to go faster over time. You're actually going to start breaking down. So that's what I often use in the business world.
I've had a Maserati, and basically I would modify it. If you go outside the city limit, it falls apart. But there it goes faster falling apart than anything else you can drive.
Funny.
Well, and you said, when do you have the time?
Yeah.
What we're talking about, honestly, takes a split second. Okay, that was a second.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
But it really only takes a second to shift my attention off myself and over to you.
You know, I have to think about whether I buy into that, David, because it sounds like I'm going to have to spend so much time thinking about it because that's not the way I normally operate.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, so it is going to take me a lot longer than a second to be different than the way I've been for so long.
Well, absolutely. There really is training. To me, there's just like when we have to, in the computer world, technology changes so quickly. And if we don't upgrade our systems over time, it'd be ridiculous to be using the same systems that we had 15 years ago. Ridiculous in a business. And yet some do, not only with their technology, but certainly with the communications that they have for each other. And so this is actually a new kind of relationship technology. And to upgrade, yes, it takes a little time to install, but once it's there, things move much quicker.
And your typical engagement in a company, I would assume you're going to do some kind of initial training to educate them to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then if you go away, they're going to forget all about it. So what do you do?
Of course. So what we tend to do is we tend to come in and find out what's happening, a kind of assessment, a kind of like really seeing what the strengths and challenges are of whoever we're working with.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of an assessment. Sometimes that has to do with individual conversation. And then after that, we will often come in for half a day, one day, 2 days, depending on the system, some kind of training, some kind of education. And then we work ongoingly, either setting up one-on-one coaching with certain groups. Sometimes we find out that there are just two people in the group that are having trouble, and they're the ones who need coaching. Or sometimes it's an ongoing conversation with a team where we meet with them maybe monthly, over the phone. We can do team coaching.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to what you said about that second.
Yeah.
Right, that second to connect. So part of what happens in the coaching conversation is people get enough, a strong enough reason to try to have those seconds with each other. And some of the coaching conversation is practice. And having them take the time to listen while we're there together and slowing it down. And it might take longer than seconds. But from the brains, there's a brain science piece where our minds, it takes a little while to get things going.
Create a new route. Yeah.
So
the coaching conversation is that practice. So that when we go out, sometimes in the coaching conversation, we'll develop structures to prepare ourselves when we go in to have a meeting with someone that we're not really fond of. What is that person's contribution to the team? And think of them that way first before we immediately brush up against them.
Okay. Well, look, we're running out of time. Of course, I knew we'd run out of time. I could talk to the two of you for days. Thank you very much. But is there anything that I sort of talked over or you didn't get out that you want to just, I'll give you a couple of seconds here to throw in anything else that you felt that you didn't get to talk about that you wanted to share with the audience?
No, I think that was pretty thorough. I do want to make sure people know how to find us if they want to.
That was next. So tell us how do they find you?
Well, they can Google either one of us, Cynthia Loy Darst, L-O-Y, like Myrna, and David Darst. Or find us at, we will be soon at Team Darst. Right now we are at theinspirationpoint.com. We're going to be speaking at the Bigger Game Expo in June in upstate New York as well.
Okay. That's Darst, D-A-R-S-T.
Yeah,
okay.
D-A-R-S-T.
David, anything you want to add?
Well, since it's Valentine's Day weekend, I think I am the man I am today because of the relationship that I've been in with you for the past 30 some odd years.
Since this isn't television, let me clarify, he's looking at Cynthia, not me.
And there's a piece of, and what I think that means for the both of us is, when it comes to spending time with someone, you're the one I want to spend time with. But it's also because of the time we spend together, we're both able to go out in the world and stand as individuals.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So,
thank you.
I don't know if that's what
you're
looking for.
You know, I never get what I'm looking for, but that's what makes this so exciting. Thank you both very much, and let me just welcome you to the Coaching Perspective radio show community, and I'll look forward to you coming back and visiting
Fabulous.
Us again, and you have so many things to share. We could do different topics every
Absolutely.
Week.
You know, Absolutely. But, thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you a lot. Well, look, before I sign off, let me just say that if you've tuned in late or you've missed any of our previous shows, you can listen to the podcast by going to dgefeller, that's dgefeller .podbean.com, or you can go to my radio webpage on thecoachingperspective.com. We'll be back with you again next Thursday. So this is Doug Gefeller, your host for today. Enjoyable afternoon with Team Darst. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller, right here in Orange County's only community radio station.